This is Church Tech Profiles for the week of July 20th, 2020. My interview with Kevin Ward. Well, welcome everybody to another edition of Church Tech Profiles. This is episode number 2 for those of you who are keeping track. Episode 2 in version 2 of Church Tech Profiles. Today I'm going to interview Kevin Ward. Kevin is the technical director for Crosspoint Church in Anaheim, California. He is a good friend of mine. He also has a website and YouTube channel and podcast called Mix Coach. That's all one word, Mix Coach, so you can go check that out. I'll put the links in the show notes over at thesoundbooth.com. Kevin is a great guy. He's a producer. He's a studio engineer, tech director, just all around amazing guy. This interview was recorded, like the last one, pre-beer bug, but I still think it has a lot of great information. You get to know a lot about Kevin. He's a great dude. I'll probably have him on again and certainly want to have him on when we do our roundtable discussions. He's just a good dude, has a ton, wealth of information, and just a great guy, has a great heart for the church and tech. So anyway, by the way, Crosspoint is also the place, if any of you went to Philo in Southern California, that's where it was at his church. I think it's actually going to be there again this year, as long as we can actually have live events in Southern California, which that is at this point in time in July is an unknown, as they've just kind of locked everything down again. But prayerfully and hopefully we will be able to have live events by the time November hits. Who knows? You never know. Anyway, so Kevin's a good dude. Like I said, this was pre-COVID-19 lockdown. So it does have a little bit of weirdness to it because we don't talk about any of the stuff that has happened since then. And wow, so much has happened since then, right? This is one of these interviews where I have some more interviews that I did and Duke and I did that we're probably going to put in here that are going to be as COVID-19 kind of went along before we kind of catch up to where we are right now. You know, these are great interviews. I really enjoy talking to all these people. So I think this information will be great for you. Once again, here's my interview with Kevin Ward from Crosspoint Church in Anaheim, California. How are you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing awesome.
Cool.
How are you, Van?
I'm great.
Good.
I feel like we've just been doing a lot of podcasts together, but
since it's been great.
Since we recently sat in your car and did like 5 podcasts or whatever. I don't remember how many we did, but anyway, I wanted to have you on Church Tech Profiles today because, you know, we've been actually seeing a lot of each other. CCI, you know, did the install of your auditorium and your church for the most part, you know, for the most of the rooms. And we've been talking about doing podcasts together for a while. Yeah. So I'm glad we're actually starting to do them now. So I wanted to just, you know, get you on here, and instead of having a podcast where you and I talk about what we're doing in church, how we like to do church and how we like to work with volunteers and all this kind of stuff, I wanted to kind of just get a feel for, a lot of people are going to hear you on my podcast, or, you know, maybe they've heard your podcast, and I want to just get a kind of a, this is time to say, hey, this is Kevin, this is who you are, this is kind of your background, how you got into this, you know, crazy circus we call church tech directing. and just kind of do that. So what's your story? How did you get into audio, and what was kind of your path of how you got here?
Well, there is a super long story, a medium story, and a very short one. I'll tell you the medium one. Is that cool?
That's good. Okay. Yeah, the medium one is great.
I was born back in when I was 11 years old. I discovered cassette players. You remember the old long cassette players that popped up, and you could record your voice straight into the microphone. Mm-hmm. I somehow ended up with 2 of them, and then ended up playing instruments into one and playing it back and playing another instrument as I recorded onto another one when I was about 11. And I knew then that I wanted to be a recording engineer. I wanted to be involved in creating music. When I was 14, I was in a band, and we went to Nashville for the first time. And when I saw the big, huge board with all the knobs, I was really hooked then. Fast forward a few years, every decision I made, it seemed like, was to get me closer to creating good music. I ended up in 91 moving to Asheville, North Carolina. I was a chief recording engineer at a studio there. I was in way over my head, much like jumping in the tech directing thing. But I learned from the people around me. 96, I moved to Nashville, and I started, you know, producing, songwriting, even got a couple of Dove Awards for producing and engineering, and I did that until basically until 2016. So for nearly 30 years, I was in Nashville just producing records and like on a daily basis, and it was a great experience. One of the records that I recorded, or several of the records, was with Eddie Harrison, who is the worship leader here in Anaheim. We worked together in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, a little outskirt town of Nashville, about 30 miles outside of Nashville. He and I served together in a great church there in Murfreesboro called New Vision. And I remember one day we were headed to lunch, and he said, "I've got an opportunity to move to California and be the worship leader for this church that's, you know, small but growing. What do you think?" And I said, "I think you need to go, man. You know, how many times do you get an opportunity to move to California and work in California? And even if it doesn't work out, you can come back to Nashville and be the California guy," which for some reason carries clout in Nashville. But anyway, fast forward another 5 years, and Eddie's going, "Hey, you should move to California. I need a tech director. We're about to move into this brand new facility. There's going to be a lot more technology involved. We're going to have a lot more volunteers, and I want you to head up that team." And I thought, okay, I think I'll do that. So in 2016, I moved from Nashville to Yorba Linda, California, and the church a year later, you guys, you know, we renovated this facility and got some state of the art stuff. And two of my favorite things to do is learn new technology and teach it. That's two of my favorite things. So for the last 4 years, I've been in California learning new technology, learning from other people like you, and distilling that information and teaching it to and empowering volunteers. So that's kind of my medium story of how I got here.
Well, and what's really funny is I'll never forget we were actually doing the design meeting for Crosspoint, and you literally had just flown out from Nashville. I mean, yeah. You were like, that was like literally you came out, you got dropped right into the design meeting for the new building. Like the very first, the very first thing. I'll never forget that. It was at the old building upstairs in the back in this little like conference room thing. Yeah. That's the first time you and I met.
That's right. Yeah. I remember.
Yeah. So what, you know, the journey that you kind of have been on, we talk a lot about, you know, when this show and other shows that we've done, you know, we talk a lot about volunteers and how we train volunteers and all that. We'll get to that in a minute. I kind of curious as to what challenges, I mean, you've been a recording engineer for your whole life, and you've been a musician for your whole life and a producer for your whole life. What challenges were completely unknown to you as you dropped yourself into being a tech director?
What challenges were unknown to me? You know, I think probably the biggest challenge has just been how much time this actually takes. I probably foolishly thought that I could do tech directing on the side. And it is not a part-time job. No matter how many hours you're getting paid for it, you're always, if you're not just thinking about it, you're getting calls from volunteers. You're, you know, going and connecting with volunteers, which is really important to me. And I was just, you know, surprised at just how much time it takes. And I don't think anybody, I mean, if I don't know that going into it, I can't expect people who are not familiar with how much there is to do on a week-to-week basis, they can't really know how much time is involved either. So you kind of have to let people know, you know, just how much time something takes. And I've never wanted to be that tech director that's a no guy, you know, that just says no right off the bat. I always try to, you know, take into consideration what people are wanting and try to just, you know, figure out how we can get to that and not kill yourself, you know.
Well, yeah, you don't. When I was a new tech director, one time I got called the dream killer, you know, because, you know, and I kind of had to learn, you know, you kind of have to learn how not to be the dream killer and still get people to understand the limitations of what your technology in your facility will do, you know.
Right.
There are definitely ways of doing that, but it's just, yeah, it's just really interesting. Well, what things did you bring with you that have really helped you a lot? Like what things from recording, producing, being a musician, what do you feel like? Because now you've been doing this for what, 3.5 years, pretty much?
Almost 4 years.
And so what have you brought? What do you feel like the stuff that, you know, you did as a recording engineer, producer, musician, that you brought with you that has really been a huge advantage to you being a tech director and a creative person?
Probably just a wide knowledge of music and production. I've always loved production. Dancing with the Stars was always one of my favorite shows, and not just because there was live everything, live band production, live television. When I watched it in Nashville, it was live, and somehow when you come to California where they actually recorded, it's on a delay, which I don't understand, but I've always appreciated production. And I think probably the two things that stand out in my mind is, you know, just the knowledge of music and musicianship, and how a lot of people are probably frustrated by why they can't get things to sound a certain way. And a lot of times it goes back to the other side of the microphone. You know, it's how your drum kit sounds. And even if you have a good drum kit, it's how the guy hits it, how you tune it, how the musicians play with each other. And I think probably one of the things I'm spoiled with is that I, for 30 years and even beyond that, because the musicians in North Carolina were of the same caliber. When you get good musicians who play together cohesively as a unit, there's not a lot of mixing that has to be done. It's all finesse at that point. It's not correction. And probably the other thing that I feel like I brought is for the last 10 years, I've run a website called Mix Coach, and I've taught people how to produce music, how to mix in Pro Tools, how to produce music, how to think about, you know, being in the studio, the psychology that goes into a studio, and how, and I think I've learned how to relate to how people learn and apply the teaching part to what I do here, because technology is just off the charts, and the possibilities are endless in what you can do with this lighting board and that switcher and those cameras and the combination thereof. But you have to break it down into a place where a normal volunteer who's not thinking about this and dreaming about this stuff at night, how they can come to serve on a Sunday and how they can say, I did great. According to what you require of me and what's, you know, the task at hand, I did great. And I feel like that's probably one of the things that is a big thing. Like, for example, and I learned this from several other people, but like a camera one position, these are your two shots for camera one. Don't worry about anything else. If you get these two shots and you nail them, you won. And we're able to use that and you're a rock star. Camera two, here's your two shots. Or audio. If you can get, you know, if you do this and then do this when these moments come, like have the pastor's mic on, you know, we pretty much won. And I think defining the lanes for volunteers came from that background of teaching and encouraging people to build on their little wins, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big deal. I think people overthink this a lot, you know, with what we do. There's a lot of overthinking happening, you know. I love t-shirts and there's this t-shirt that says, wait a second while I overthink this. And I think a lot of technicians, musicians, engineers, tech people in general, we take a small problem and we beat it to death instead of just going, right. Okay, what are our wins? How do we get to our wins? And let's just, win. It's that whole 80-20 rule. You know what I mean? Right. And, let's just get to 80%, man, because we'll spend 80 times the effort trying to get that last 20%, and we'll probably never get it,
Right.
If you can get to 80%, you're probably doing better than 99% of the churches or performances that there are on a Sunday. I mean, how many bad shows or bad church services have you been in where you've just been in the audience and just been like, wow, that's not good.
Right.
It could have been a lot simpler. They did a lot of stuff, but none of it was great. Yeah.
There's a fine line between we used to have a core value of relentless improvement, and there's a fine line between consistency and relentless improvement. Consistency says, hey, we've got this dialed in, we know what to do, and relentless improvement says that we can make it better and make it unstable again. So there's a fine line there. You kind of have to be comfortable on that line and figure out, if you're throwing a wrench in the plans by trying to improve things,
Yeah. Well, a lot of it is the technology that we live in right now. I mean, how many times, I can't tell you, this iPhone, there's so many things that were better three versions ago. Mm-hmm. There's so much that's better now. I mean, there's so much that the camera, lots of stuff is great, but and this is probably, old guy rant, you ever want to see a great old guy rant about Apple? There's a guy on the internet called Rick Beato. And he's an amazing thing. I mean, he's just one of my favorite people to watch and listen to. He's a brilliant guy. Mm-hmm. But he has this video about ranting about how Apple kind of sucks now. And it didn't used to suck. It used to be awesome. Yeah. My two biggest beefs with this thing are that it doesn't have a headphone jack, and that it doesn't have the home button anymore. I hate the swipe from the top thing. I absolutely hate it. But here's the benefit of it. The sound on this thing, just recording, I use a better mic usually, the Shure MV88, but even if we just record on this, I mean, we recorded a bunch of podcasts on it. It sounded fantastic,
I love it.
And the camera on these things is amazing. Absolutely amazing. And they're fast. But there's so many things on some of the older versions that you're like, oh man, I wish they still had that, And so there's this fine line where I think in technology, people are, the engineers feel like they have to keep constantly coming up with new stuff.
Right.
Right. Cause they've got to
reinvent the wheel.
Cause they've got to keep selling product, right? Planned obsolescence, right? They just got to keep going and going and going.
Yeah.
I think we try to do that in church sometimes. And, I'll never forget when I worked for Rick Warren at Saddleback, he used to say, I want it to be the same every week because I want people to know when they walk in the doors what they're going to get. So when they bring their friends, their non-saved friends, they're not surprised about what.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I got hired was to make the mix the same every weekend so that it always was the same volume. And it wasn't like crazy weird one week and then completely different another week. And, and that's an advantage that a lot of big churches have that smaller churches don't. So,
yeah. So you, of course, just saved a preset and recalled it every Sunday and left it alone, right?
Nope. I think it. Yeah, right. That's what I did. I just hit a button. But I think I was in the analog days when I worked there. So you kind of had to do everything. There was no easy button. But I think really the bottom line on that is that even now, even when I got digital consoles, I brought up I'd bring up the mix from the week before and it's the same drum kit. If it was the same guitar player, it was whatever. or I have a library of EQs. I think the key is to, when you have a group of engineers to get sound people or video people or lighting people or whatever, is to get them all on the same page, you know? Right. So how do you do that? How do you get your people on the same page so that the mixes are consistent, even though you have multiple audio engineers? How many audio engineers do you have?
Oh, we cycle through probably five or six, maybe.
Right. Which is probably pretty much what a lot of churches do. How do you get how do you get their mixes to be consistent? What's your way of doing that?
So I have a master template on our Yamaha CL5, and it's basically got all of the EQs, all the compression settings. We've got a wave sound grid, and we've got that stuff dialed in. There are certain things, and again, we're trying to get this even more consistent, but I'm trying to make the wave sound grid something that not everybody touches. And I let the wave sound grid be the compression, the de-essing, the intricate fine tuning stuff. And I try to let the CL5 be the EQ, because I don't have any complaints at all with the CL5 EQ. The compression is better, you know, when you get the SSL compressor or the Sheps Omnichannel or, you know, or LA2A or 1176, those higher end emulations of old vintage things. And not a lot of volunteers really want to get into the nitty gritty of that. So I usually try to set that and, you know, and not let a lot of people know about it. And then if they think that the snare drum needs to be brighter, they do it on the CL5. But next week I can recall, or if it sounds fantastic, I may just, you know, save that as the new template.
Right.
So I try to set everybody up for a win. I try to, you know, set the audio board up to where they can recall on, you know, the master template, and then just change the names of the people who are singing. And then I do the same thing with the lighting board. I have a little busking sort of set up to where this is kind of an experiment. What I'm trying to let, there's a fine line between being consistent and letting your volunteers be creative. I don't want just, you know, people just punching buttons and kind of checking out and saying, well, you know, I did my thing, whatever it was. I want them to feel like they have some creative input too. So on the lighting board, I have a setup and say, hey, use any of these colors for the wash lights and use any of these settings for the set lights. And these are the two house light settings. Go between those. And then that way they feel engaged. So, and I feel like for the most part, it's you know, the 80%, the 80 percentile consistent. And then, you know, volunteers are going to add their thing. And we're all learning as we go. So, yeah, that's how I try to say. And another thing for video, I'm trying to establish kind of a playbook, you know, like you would on a football team. Like, hey, here is our, you know, this is how we open a service. You know, we start with a wide shot on a push, you know, from the video, and we go to the wide shot, and then as soon as the speaker starts speaking, we go to camera two because they're on the speaker. And then as the music gets going, we go to one of the backstage shots. We're trying to, you know, we don't have all that dialed in, but I'm trying to create a playbook to where people can anticipate what we're going to do next, and they can add to it instead of like just hanging on for dear life, you know?
Right. Yeah. 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 And then that's being, and you're feeling like that's being pretty successful. Like you're feeling like that you're getting some wins out of that.
I feel like that. And, you know, the fact too that our church is 100% volunteer. The only paid staff person on my production team is me. And then I've got an intern. He's not paid either, but I'm excited about him coming on board because he's going to be able to hopefully help me refine some of these systems. But yeah, it's 100% volunteer. And I feel like, I've tapped some people on the shoulder to be my coaches. And instead of everybody coming to me for every problem they have, I'm trying to establish coaches. Like, this is my audio coach, and this is my lighting coach. This is my video coach. I don't have all those positions filled yet. I do have a video director that's kind of my coach, and she and I get together and we talk about this playbook and then the why behind what we do. Like, this is why we don't do this. This is why this camera only gets two shots. This is why we open this way. This is why we put the lower thirds in this amount of time. And if we miss that window, we don't do it. So having those people that one person you can go to and say, hey, we should try doing this differently. And they're like, okay, let's do that. And then they push it down to the other volunteers. And that kind of lightens my load a little bit too, because on a Sunday morning, it's game day and you can get inundated with, you're already inundated with the fine things that you can't really, necessarily delegate out to people. You kind of have to handle it yourself. And I've got plenty of that stuff too. Having the coaches, it has been really helpful. And I feel like it's pretty, pretty consistent. Yeah.
Well, I think one of the things that you're doing really great, I came and visited you on Christmas Eve, and you were standing up against the back wall when I walked into the room, and I was very happy for you, because I was like, I always told people, if you see me not doing anything in the booth, mm-hmm. I'm doing my job as a tech director. Yeah. Because I've empowered a volunteer team. The last two churches that I was tech director at, I did have some staff, one or two people, but for the most part, it was, all volunteers. And the thing that was the most gratifying to me always was to be able to just stand back and watch them do their thing, and to be enjoying it and see the camaraderie between everybody. You were totally doing that. I know a lot of your volunteers through various ways, some of them just from your mm-hmm. church, some of them, some of them were actually volunteers at one of my old churches, oddly enough, right. Which is really weird. Mm-hmm. I can't say that about too many churches, but it's fun to see them in their element and them doing their thing. And you were just standing back there, just kind of hanging out, taking pictures on your phone, and it was all good.
Yeah. And that was a Christmas service too. So that was a big one, but I wish I could say that happens every week, but last week I was doing service producer. I was tech director. I was assisting with the lighting. I have an iPad, and I was able to, if the lighting guy missed a cue, I was able to kind of slip it in. I was also running, helping with Pro Presenter. I was I was running a planning center, which and I was doing the broadcast mix, and I was doing A2. And which, it's just one of those Sundays. It's a holiday weekend. Everybody's out of town. So we've been getting up from 11 to 14 volunteers on Sunday. And those are the Sundays I can sit on the back wall.
Yeah.
Last week we had 8 volunteers. So I was pulling double, triple, quadruple duty on those. So
that's a great thing, because you can, I think the great thing about the technology we've gotten to today is we have the ability to, have it on our phone, have it on an iPad or a Surface or whatever you've got, and be able to slide from, I can't tell you when I was at, the last church I was TD at, my assistant, who was she was also the video director, she actually probably loves switching more on the iPad remote for the 4A mixer mm-hmm. more than being on the actual Surface, And there was many Sundays when if we didn't have a Pro Presenter operator or somebody called in sick or whatever, she'd literally come down from the video room, do Pro Presenter and mix the video on the iPad, for the service.
I think that's good for I enjoy the Sundays where I get to do things one specific thing. You asked a few minutes ago, what was something unexpected? One other unexpected thing that I found, if I can readdress that, open that question there, is that I'm used to being a super creative guy. I'm used to either running the sound, or if you put me on lights, I feel like within a short amount of time, I could be really good at lights. Video director, I feel like I could be a bang up camera guy. And I've done all those things, but on a week to week basis, I can't do any of those creative things.
Right.
So, that was a little bit unexpected, that I think that being as creative as I am, I feel like I need to add that as much as I can. So on those Sundays where I have to do a lot of things, it's a little bit of a rush, you know, and you realize, you know, as you create these checklists and these things for people to, to see exactly like, here's a, for the win, you know, these are divided up into sections of the day. Like this is before the first service happens. Sometimes when you're in that position and you're looking at the checklist, you go, huh, nobody's doing this. Or I wonder why nobody's doing this. Or I wonder why this is not on the checklist. Or, you know, maybe we need to put this in a different order. So I feel like it's good for me to jump in every now and then. Of course, I welcome those Sundays where I can just, you know, sip coffee during the morning and watch as the and service and engage in the service. Like sit by my wife is one of the best things. It's a great thing.
Yeah,
when
yeah,
I can do that. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really interesting. I think, you know, to be able to, and that can actually help you when you're not having to be in the booth for the whole thing. I think that actually can help you be more of an advocate for tech in the mm-hmm. in the congregation. Because mm-hmm. if you can step out of the booth for a second, sometimes you'll meet people and you'll, you know, and people ask me all the time, you know, how do you build a tech team, you know, and I said one of the ways is you've got to step out of the tech booth. You got to mm-hmm. engage with your staff and volunteers and other people in the room, and you got to be available to do that. And I think one of the ways to do that is to be able to, you know, have your teams be, I mean, you have a very competent, you have a great competent volunteer team at your church, right. And they could, you have the right, I know enough of your team to know that if you got sick, if you went down for a weekend, mm-hmm. as long as you have a couple of your key people that I know could do it, they could run the service. I mean, would everything,
yeah, they have,
would everything go absolutely as well as if you were there? Probably not, but would the congregation know? No, they would not know, you know, because the congregation doesn't know that stuff. So
to me, that's one of the best things I can do. And that's something I'm trying to do this current year, is I'm trying to schedule some time where even if I'm here, I'm training another tech director. So that when I do step away and go to, say, another campus or go to another church and see how they do things, which I love to do, then I'm not as worried about it because it's just another Sunday. I was out last Sunday, but I was on campus. So I think it's good to step out and let your volunteers kind of run the thing.
Yeah.
Good or bad, you know.
Right. Well, and you have to do that. I mean, when your church starts to expand, I was at a church for 7 years that the pastor loved starting campuses, and we had a lot of campuses. Mm-hmm. And we had four locally at one point in time that I had to go to, you know, that I would go. And my assistant, tech director, Marvin, you know, Marvin, he asked me, he had actually started on one of the campuses. And so as a volunteer, and he'd been there for a long time. And so when he became my assistant, he kind of made me promise him, you know, hey, please don't make me go to every new campus launches. I'd really like to be here at the, at the base campus. And so I said, okay, you know, I said, look, as long as we can get to a point where you can run the services without me, you can run the services and I'll go to the other campuses and help launch those. And that's what we did. And I, so just to get your team to a place where they're comfortable with he was staff, but, he wasn't originally, he was a volunteer for a long time. Mm-hmm. But I think whether it's staff or volunteers, to have your team be comfortable with whoever you put in charge, mm-hmm. that's a big win too, you know? Right. So that's really cool. So what's on the agenda? What's coming up? What are you doing with your teams? What are you guys doing with the church that you can talk about? That's not a secret. what's coming up for you guys?
So Easter's coming up, and of course that always, Easter is what we call a big day around here, because, Easter, Christmas, Mother's Day are days that families usually come to church together. So we always try to, you know, put our best foot forward. So just a couple things that we're going to do. I went into a movie theater the other day, a new movie theater here in Yorba Linda, and I saw three 55-inch TVs standing tall, side by side by side, and they were showing movie trailers, movie posters, announcements, that sort of thing. You know, the coupon, how to sign up for a membership, all that kind of thing. And I thought, wouldn't that be really cool to do here? So I'm going to try to get that done before Easter, as well as building these things called Skypans lights. Are you familiar with Skypans? Mm-hmm. It's kind of a DIY sort of lighting accent. And so that's the second project. The third project is we're going to take our LED wall down and put it on one of those. You remember the wall that you guys put in Chino? I'm talking to those guys. I'm not sure that we can afford that structure, but to be able to bring our LED wall down and make it less of an informational piece, like just a big slideshow, and make it more of an architectural piece where we can actually kind of wrap it around the stage a little bit so that when we shine the camera on the pastor, we can actually change the backdrop because right. the LED screen's behind him. And I'm sure that's going to bring in its own complexity, but it's something I've been kind of wanting to do for the last couple of years. So hopefully at least two of those three projects will happen this year before Easter. Well, I've only got a few weeks to do it, but right. It should be fun. I love a good challenge like that.
Well, cool. Well, it's, you know, if you guys ever get out to Southern California and you want to see some great churches, obviously hit me up and we have a bunch of great churches out here that mm-hmm. You know, that are doing some great stuff that you guys can see. And I will certainly give you the list. Crosspoint's definitely on that list. It's a great church with awesome people. I have a great relationship through, you know, CCI with you guys, but I also have a good, great personal relationship with a lot of people at your church and just love Crosspoint. And, you guys are doing some great stuff. I think, whether you think so or not, I think you were the perfect pick for, being the TD there. And, I know that you're always, Kevin and I talk a lot about why are we doing this? Why did we start doing this? You know, I don't care how long you do it. Sometimes you question why you do it. You know, why did I get involved in this?
Yeah. What was I thinking?
Yeah. Well, just to kind of wrap up though, what's the most rewarding after almost 4 years, what's the most rewarding thing that part of what you do every week, what gets you up in the morning? What do you really love about being a tech director?
I have to say, and I know this is the churchy answer, but it's the real answer. I mean, I think just seeing lives changed. I think, you know, when people come to church here for the first time and they're, you know, surprised at how cool, the people are here, and they're not stuffy and, judgmental, and they lean in to what you're saying and they believe what you're saying. And for people to be watching on Facebook and YouTube, well, not YouTube yet, but Facebook, and then they check out your church on Facebook, and then they come in and then they engage, and then they, get baptized, and then they join a membership class where they learn more about, being a part of the Big C Church, and to know that you have a part of that, and then the next step is to, you know, get people to volunteer and engage in serving the church, and just to know that that hopefully that you're running a healthy team that people actually want to be a part of, that's rewarding, and to see people that I handpicked a bass player and said, you would be awesome at this job. Would you like to try it? And she's like, well, yeah. And, you know, I got a chill on my arm just now, just thinking about, you know, trying to see potential in people that they don't see in themselves yet.
Right.
And then by leading a good silent team and giving them, a healthy box to play in and say, if you just do these two things, you won. We all won. And to be a part of that and learn from other people and try to implement that into your own church, and then seeing lives change, not just people, not just hearts change, but people become fully engaged with the church. That's rewarding, man. It really is.
Cool. Yeah. That's, I think it's all, you know, I always say that it's, if you work for a church, if you're in church, you know, whether you're a tech director that gets paid or you're volunteer or whatever, Jesus was in the people business. So we're in the people business, and that's just the bottom line. The trick is to figure out how to do that, whether you're an introvert or extrovert. You know, I think that you're a little bit more on the extrovert side, whether you think you are or not. You know, you're probably in with me and the 3% of tech people that are that are extroverts. but you know, I think if you don't love people, it's a really hard job. You know, it's a really hard job because. So cool. Well, Kevin, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it. It's always a blast to hang out with you and talk all this, you know, tech and people and life and all this stuff.
It's been my honor.
If people want to, catch you on the interwebs, you've got your website, you've got YouTube channel, all that. Why don't you throw all that stuff out and where people can follow you?
Well, the church is Crosspoint with an E on the end .com. And you can find, you know, what we do there. Facebook, it's Crosspoint Anaheim. Again, Crosspoint with an E. Personally, my stuff, I have a Instagram, Kevin Ward Music. I don't take as many pictures as I probably should. And then I've got a website, mixcoach.com. And of course, there's facebook.com/mixcoach. And you should be able to find everything you need to find there. I'm actually trying to, in addition to training my team, putting together some resources for, you know, just kind of compiling the things that I've learned over the last 4 years into a website where I can teach other people that too. So that'll be coming soon. But, you know, mixcoach.com is the main website.
And then you also have a podcast that you're going to start doing again, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The Mixed Coach podcast.
Yeah.
I've for the last several weeks, I've put up episode, and I haven't put up our episode. So we did some really good, I feel like, episodes, me and Van together on leadership and volunteers and things like that.
Yeah, those were fun. In the parking lot of Lazy Dog Cafe.
What's a better place for a podcast besides, you know, right here in the tech booth?
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, thanks everybody for listening to that great interview with Kevin. Please check us out on Instagram, Church Tech Profiles. We are also on Twitter at Church Tech Pro. By the time you hear this, there will probably be a Facebook group, Facebook page, and thinking about putting these up on YouTube just as a alternative listening experience. So anyway, if you want to reach me, you can always email me at van@thesoundbooth.com. Check out the show notes at thesoundbooth.com. And looking forward to having another great interview coming up here in a couple weeks. So thanks a lot for listening. We'll talk to you later.